Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us on our Friday show. First big look at the Super Bowl on the numbers this weekend. And if Deflategate will impact the smarts on either side. Go to Eat the Movies will be with us. AZ Central and Gannett, chief film critic, media critic. He is going to talk to us about A Girl Walked Home Alone at Night, the review of that. I'm going to talk to him about American Sniper a little bit more since I've now seen it. And you know, I want to get Goody's view because on the media side of the two press conferences that most of us saw yesterday, I hate to tell you this, not much has changed in the world of sports in the last 24 hours. We're still trying to figure out footballs and how they get inflated, deflated, and all of that. Jeff Gordon retired yesterday. Did you know? It was picked a bad day. Sometimes I look at people and say, you know, your inner circle just isn't quite right. Somebody, anybody, waved to Jeff Gordon. Today's probably not a good day to announce that you're retiring because nobody's going to notice except those diehard of diehard NASCAR fans. So I've got that on my mind. James Harden is in town tonight with the Houston Rockets against the Suns. Robert Allenby's story took another turn this morning that I just, I can't get enough of this. With Tiger and Robert here next week, assuming Allenby doesn't pull out, he's in the field from my understanding, but they have to let him know by today. So that's a story to certainly keep an eye on, especially when you hear the latest details. And there was some interesting stuff around ASU last night and the Senior Bowl. Actually, I'm not one that sits and gets too much into combine stuff, but when I hear two main analysts whose names you know very well talk about how three Arizona State football players are performing, well, I've got to fill you in on that. So we have all that straight ahead. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Here we are into the great sports weekend. What a terrific time to get away. Head up to the northeast part of the state to the Honda Resort and Casino. And you could stay there. You can do your snowboarding, your skiing, your sledding, whatever it may be at the Sunrise Ski Resort. This is the perfect time of year to head on up to Sunrise. Snow is great. Stay at Honda. You can go to the ski shop and get all the equipment that you need, do the rentals. Head back to the casino and pull down on those slots, eat some great food and have some fun and get away, decompress, have some fun, and do it all at the Honda Resort and Casino. I was with a guy last night. He wants me to come up and do a speaking thing at the end of February. Another guy by phone yesterday wants me to come up and do a speaking thing in June. And they both talked about we could go over to the casino and spend some time at Honda Resort and Casino. You should do the same. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Eric and I were talking this morning on the way in. We usually converse about a guest here, a guest there, but by and large, whatever shows up on my sheet that Eric decides, unless I say, you know, I got this guy or that guy, it's pretty much his call as to what we talk about. So he called me this morning about Jim Tunney, the former NFL referee who we had on the show about a year ago. And it was fine. I didn't blow you off on the idea. It's just, I thought, what has really changed here other than who did you believe more or less yesterday? That's really the story of the day in sports. And you filled me in on the Today Show. And
of course. The
Today Show is the show that we don't base our show around what they do, but it's one show from a news standpoint, supposedly a bastion of journalism. I think for the first about 20 minutes it usually is, and then it just goes into the gutter in a hurry.
And even the Today Show, Brad, they even mentioned the obvious that we're all wondering as this thing drags into day number 5.
Yeah.
Is the NFL going to say anything, something? Like, hey, sorry about all this, but everyone can get free Papa John's pizza tonight because we haven't said anything. Or we, you know, no one said anything. Like, nothing has been said. Let's see. Ray Rice situation. Adrian Peterson situation. This hasn't exactly been a banner year for Roger Goodell.
It hasn't gone
well. And the smart talking heads at the top of the NFL, at the top of the NFL food chain. But something, just give us something, say something, call a press conference. It's going on almost a week that this happened. What's the holdup?
I'm fine about, and to me, the big story in the country is there's a new king in Saudi Arabia. So this morning, I'm driving into work, and the gas station that I was at the other day where I paid $1.70 is now $1.90.
Funny how that works.
I don't know. Is that a little bit more important to everybody out there? But it's just me. You know, I guess what? I'm a little different. I like to look at things like big picture here. I'm fine with the NFL taking a little bit of time on this. Like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days. It's fine. We're to the point now where they're going to get hammered again from a just media standpoint. Sunday is when there's the most traffic, supposedly, still on the web. Sunday morning, when there's newspapers that some people over the age of 60, that can't accept the fact that everything's heading to your phone. So there's this graying population that will say, well, what's in our morning paper that's on the front yard? Because we're living 40 years in the past. We're not caught up to technology yet. So if the NFL doesn't say anything today about this, then Sunday is going to be all about what will the penalty be or what will happen. And that will lead into Monday when the teams are out here and the rest of the week will take care of itself. I have seen some in our industry that have tried to advance the story into how this guy with the Seahawks says that Rob Gronkowski isn't any good. Guess what? Fans don't care. Nobody cares about that stuff.
It would have been a really big story if... Because, you know, we in the media, we love to latch on to athletes trying to tear down other athletes.
Oh, sure.
Especially if it's before a big game.
But see, and here's the thing. If this was the Cardinals and this had happened, nobody would care. But this is the Patriots, and there's a segment of the population, a rather large part of the population, that hates the Patriots. There just is. And so I think it's interesting in Boston how this is being played. Ron Borges, who we've had on the show a couple of times, and I think we should try to get Ron on Monday of next week or Tuesday. Ron's right in the middle of all this with the Boston Herald, and he wrote today, how much more will Pat's owner, Robert Kraft, Coach Bill Belichick has the NFL on his back, but he may soon have to worry about Pat's owner, Robert Kraft, as well. Okay, that's pretty strong stuff that's coming out on this front. In Boston, it seems to me that Tom Brady is taking a lot of heat. Again, the Boston Herald, 12 things that Tom didn't explain yesterday. We all like lists in this day and age. Here's 5 things we learned from the game, 5 things we learned from the loss. You know,
we love lists.
Here's 12 things that Tom Brady did not explain. So here's Tom Brady. If you missed any part of this yesterday, I think from a contextual standpoint, you need to hear a little bit about what Tom Brady has to say. I'll get to that in a minute. A couple other things I want to get to before we go back on Brady. So while the Super Bowl has been put on the back burner, and nobody other than TV stations locally, because their crazy news directors say we have to show what's going on with the Pro Bowl, it's the same Pro Bowl that Andy Dalton is playing in. Understand me, read my lips, go look at his numbers, go look at his performance on the field. This is the Pro Bowl. Andy Dalton is a Pro Bowler. That would be like we've had so many injuries that Ryan Lindley is going to be added to the squad if you saw how poorly he performed. So we don't care. We know some of you want to be around athletes and say that you're in the building, and it'll be a big deal. We just don't care, but we think it's funny. I think it's funny to see some of this stuff. So they're running around with that. The story this next week will be Tiger and his tooth. Will be the Pro-Am on Wednesday. Media Day will be the story on Tuesday, but all of it will be superseded. Remember, Commissioner Goodell, a week from tomorrow, I believe it is, has his State of the NFL address. This is where, before the Super Bowl, they have things like the Hall of Fame voting, which will take place a week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow, we'll find out if Kurt Warner makes the Hall of Fame. Commissioner Goodell will have his presidential address on the commissioner's address, I should say, on the entire NFL and the state of the NFL. As it stands right now, there's not a chance that they're not going to say anything, and then that will just turn into, that address would turn into endless amounts of questions about this, and it's going to anyways. Where I'm coming from is we have the one scandal on the NFL. On the other side, we have Tiger with his tooth knocked out. The guy that put the event on where Tiger showed up and got his tooth knocked out, supposedly by a cameraman, said that's not how it went down. So now we're going to have Tiger rolling in here with that story next week. Robert Allenby showed up on my radar this morning because Robert Allenby, the golfer who claimed he was robbed and beaten up last week. We talked about this story earlier in the week. Robert Allenby, the golfer who claimed he was robbed and beaten up last week, apparently lied about his entire ordeal. Boy, I'm shocked to hear that. Stunned. His story has been falling apart for a few days, and as more and more witnesses come forward, it sounds like, guess what? Robert Allenby got hammered at a strip club.
No.
I know.
Wow.
Lost his friends and his bearings, and then this happened. While I was trying to wave cabs down, he was nodding out. This is according to a homeless guy. Then he passed out, fell face first, and slammed in a rock. Back at the strip club, which reporters will be gleefully canvassing today, he told a homeless man that he was depressed and had been drugged at a strip club where he went to go get some quote-unquote action. Of course he did.
Yeah.
He didn't go there to get like a 7-Up. No. Or I wanted some pretzels. Of course. So the story started with drugged, attacked, stuffed in a trunk of a car, dumped a few miles away, to lost his money at a strip club, passed out on a sidewalk for maybe 2 hours, and then staggering drunk in the streets, bragging about being a millionaire, he fell and hit his head on some rocks. Who wouldn't want to interview Robert Allenby next week when he shows up at TPC Scottsdale? Do you think, here's the thing, if he shows up next week, A, he's either very brave or just really dumb, because when he walks into 16, they're going to crush him. They're going to just destroy him when he walks into 16.
And a week ago, no one would give two poops about Robert Allenby.
Or even one poop.
He would just be a guy.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy.
But
he's
now?
He's not a guy anymore.
Now,
anytime you have scandal and strip club in the same sentence, you're not just a guy anymore if you're a pro athlete.
So we have Tiger with his tooth. And the whole spectacle of Tiger coming back. And we have Robert Allenby. And who wouldn't want more of that? Take a time out here. I've got to get into the Senior Bowl just briefly because we do a lot of college football here. The ASU guys are blowing it up according to two well-known analysts down there. And I actually watched some of it yesterday. Knocked me upside the head. You're watching the Senior Bowl practices. Yeah, it's 20 minutes of my life I'll never get back. The NBA All-Star team was announced, and you'll be surprised who got more votes than LeBron. James Harden's back in the Valley tonight, and we'll talk about the college basketball night that was for ASU and U of A next. We'll also hear from Tom Brady. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Go to Vegas a couple of minutes and talk with Jimmy Vaccaro, all the lines and all that. I'm starting to get some of the prop bets, too, that are starting to leak out, which, of course, is half the fun of the Super Bowl because we like to make fun of that.
And Jimmy said you're more than welcome to ask him about any of those prop bets, so have at it.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think he did props.
Yeah, I just confirmed that. So that'll be interesting in about 10 minutes when he jumps on.
So they have the bets. They're not all out yet because, like, how long will Bovada release theirs?
Mm-hmm.
How long is it going to take Idina Menzel to sing the national anthem? The over and under is 2 minutes and a second.
I bet on it every year. I'm not even kidding you. I do a bunch of prop bets, and the anthem is one that I bet on every single year.
Okay. The over under is 201.
Over.
How many times will deflated balls be referred to during the game? Over under 2.5. I think under because the NFL will tell NBC don't do that.
Probably.
Now, if it's the pregame show, it might get to over. I think NBC will completely ignore the story and, you know, once again say how great Roger Goodell is. Will Marshawn Lynch be fined by the NFL for any incident on Media Day? And you're going to Media Day.
I can't wait. Yep, I'll be there.
Plus 400, 4-1, no, minus 600, 1-6.
I think he'll get fined for something.
Yeah.
He's Marshawn Lynch.
If he wears his gold cleats, he could get fined for that at Media Day.
At Media Day,
Media
he could?
Day, yeah. According to Bovada, will Marshawn Lynch grab his crotch after scoring a TD in the game? Yes or no? +400, 4-1. No, -600, 1-6.
Probably not.
I would say he does.
Oh, you would say he does?
Yeah, he'll grab his crotch. Yeah, oh, sure he will. Of course he will. Marshawn Lynch is not going to take this stage, and we'll get more of this with Jimmy here in a couple minutes. There's so much money that will be spent on just these types of bets that that we'll have to do something on. All right, so back on Brady, and there's a couple other things locally I want to get to, but let's hear from Tom Brady, because I think all of you have made your opinion if you've watched him yesterday and watched Belichick yesterday. I'm of the opinion that the two did talk, but one of them is not telling the truth. Here is Tom Brady, who said, "I didn't do anything wrong.
I have no knowledge of anything. I have no knowledge of any wrongdoing of any."
Nobody did anything wrong.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable saying that. I'm very comfortable saying that nobody did it. As far as I know, I don't know everything. I also understand that I was in a locker room preparing for a game for 5 hours. I don't know what happened over the course of the process with the footballs.
Isn't it great how he covered all angles there? I didn't do it, but I don't know if somebody else didn't do it. I was in the locker room. I didn't know what was going on with the footballs, but that doesn't necessarily say nothing happened with the footballs.
Wait, I don't know if one of my people went to one of the ball boys and paid him and said, "So Giselle has a sister and she's single." I don't know that. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So it's like when coaches say, "Well, I never talked to this team." Yeah, you didn't, but your agent did, you line sack. You know, how many times has that happened? Here's more Tom Brady on The Focus Should Be on the Game.
It's disappointing that a situation like this, happens. It's obviously, I'd love to be up here talking about in a very joyful mood. These are the two best weeks of the year if you happen to be one of the two teams still playing. So it's a great, it should be a great 2 weeks.
And I will say this, Brad. Lying or truthful, Brady looked pretty smooth up there. And it wasn't like...
I didn't believe him.
But it wasn't like the Patriots PR people were like, okay, he's going to answer questions for 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, that was a 40-minute press conference yesterday.
No, I know. He
stood there and he answered every single question. I don't believe him. I mean, I said on Twitter yesterday, if you don't think Bill Belichick and Tom Brady knew what was going on with those footballs on Sunday, you ride a unicorn to work.
Right.
Literally.
Well... I think, and here's Jake Plummer. So Jake was on with us yesterday, and this caused a stir. Jake Plummer, not surprised about this with Tom Brady.
Brady sent me a letter that I signed and sent to the commissioner that asked that QBs be allowed to condition the balls themselves, so that since we have it in our hands every play. So, there's obviously, it's something I think, the QBs should have a say in how the ball feels, but there is a set rules that you have to follow, and the Patriots crossed that by after they were checked and they were all good. Obviously, they went and let air out of them so that they could, play better.
All right, and so here's more Jake admitting to me yesterday that he bent the rules when he played.
I cheated before. I took the balls that they had from the kid with the balls right before the game, and I rubbed them on the grass to try to get that slick sheen off of them. So I also cheated, but not to the extreme measure of taking air out of the ball, actually. I mean, I just was trying to get the ball prepared so that I would feel comfortable under center and be able to do my job. But deflating it in a cold weather, rainy game, I think that's crossing the line.
Okay, when you play... Okay, so, for Jake to come out and say that I cheated, now I hear what he said, and I don't think it's that big of a deal what he did. Myself, before a game, balls have been inspected, rubbing them on the grass, rubbing them on the ground, in my opinion. Well, you can't have rules both ways. No, when you're physically altering the pressure of the ball, it's a big difference, because anybody who's picked up a football and it's brand new out of the box and it's not rubbed up, it's like the baseball umpires use the mud to get the sheen off the baseball.
Or what a pitcher does.
Yeah.
A pitcher, a ball gets fouled out of play. The umpire throws a baseball out to the pitcher. What does the pitcher do more often than not? He takes his glove off and he rubs up the baseball.
Sure.
That's what Jake was doing with the football.
Sure. Here is Terry Bradshaw, who was with us yesterday, the Hall of Fame quarterback from Fox, and his whole thoughts on what has gone on to this point.
It's comical to me in a certain way. And in another way, I feel kind of bad because I, like most folks, kind of like to know who ordered this. how far up does it go? Kind of like the president, you know. Everybody says, well, it's the president, but by the time you get to him, bodies are laying everywhere, and he's still standing because everybody falls on the sword. And you're kind of wondering what, I'm curious, and I know everybody is, as to who ordered this 2 pounds of air taken out of these balls, because it does definitely makes a difference in handling and throwing.
I still believe that there'll be something announced by the NFL. If the NFL thinks that this is just going to go away, then they really are beyond more than arrogant than what I've already found them to be. If they don't think that this is a big deal, then that is really their problem. It's a bigger problem than even I can see coming from them. And they're very arrogant. Very, very, very. That's just how they've become. We're the NFL, and who are you to question us? And you're not that good. You're just not. I saw a story, and I've had some people email it to me today. Marty Herney, who was the general manager of the Carolina Panthers back when they played the Patriots, and he's up in arms, and he's livid about this. He's now hosting a show. I've known Marty for a long time. He was the assistant in San Diego when I was there. And I've got some comments from him that I'm going to try to get to as the show moves on, because he has an interesting perspective from Carolina's point of view. I think for a guy like Ron Borges, I go back to him in Boston, Eric, this is one of the leading columnists there. And for him to suggest that Robert Kraft may have had enough of all this, that this is another embarrassment, it will be interesting to see what happens, win or lose, with the Patriots now that the story has gone this far, because it's not going to be an explanation of here's the ball boy and here's what happened. We haven't heard from the ball boy yet. The get today in sports, the get, is the ball boy. That's the guy that needs to talk about this. And to this point, nobody's been able to get him.
And now, couldn't there be numerous ball boys?
It could be.
Could there be three or four of them?
Are they out like shaving points on a basketball court? Are those guys that are on the take through people, that's not traceable back to Tom Brady? Now, Tom Brady's the one that's got to be under the microscope on this. Like it or not, guys. I mean, my wife lusts after him, and she said yesterday, why are they picking on him? They're not picking on him. He cheated. There's no other way to put it. James Harden is back in the Valley tonight. And I bring it up because in some circles, it's like, oh, well, yeah, it's another NBA game. James Harden may go down as one of the more underappreciated athletes at the collegiate level that we ever had here at Arizona State, or even for the U of A, of that matter. If you think about guys that had their run and they were here for a short period of time, and they went on and turned out to be super, super, superstars, James Harden would have to be at the top of that list. I mean, Dustin Pedroia played baseball over at Arizona State, and he was a very good player. I don't think anybody envisioned Dustin Pedroia to turn out to be a potential Hall of Famer when his career is done. James Harden is in that same class. And if you're talking superstars, is it all LeBron James anymore? The NBA All-Star teams were announced last night, and LeBron James did not get the most votes this year. Did not. Steph Curry received more votes than LeBron James, which is interesting to me from Phoenix on a bunch of fronts. If you remember when Steve Kerr was here running the Suns, who did he try to trade Amari Stoudemire for with the Golden State Warriors? And the deal was pretty much done till Amari's people put the kibosh on it. It was Steph Curry. Who is the head coach now of the Golden State Warriors? Steve Kerr. Who's his star player? Steph Curry. Steve Kerr had the vision here when he was with the Suns. The Suns were this close to having Steph Curry here. And the deal fell through, and we all see now Steph Curry, the most votes of any player in the NBA come from him. It's pretty good stuff. And there's some college basketball and some senior bowl stuff I'll get to, but I want to get to Jimmy Vaccaro too. We'll get to that first, and then I'll dial in some of these other things. Good Eat the Movies is coming up as well. On the other side, though, we'll go to Vegas. So Jimmy's got prop bets, huh? That's good. That's good. We'll do some prop bets stuff for the first time with Jimmy Vaccaro. That's on the other side in Vegas, and we'll continue on this Friday. Sports360AZ.com, that's our website. Plenty of content. Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. We've got a national flavor as well. Check out our content. Jimmy Vaccaro's next.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
Tidal wave is coming to Arizona, and I don't mean the Pro Bowl. God, what a disaster that is. But next week, we'll have Tiger Woods. We'll have Tom Brady, two guys that have been in scandal or in scandal right now. Robert Allenby's story is just going to make for more fun if he, in fact, stays in the field for the Open. They're expecting 600,000 people at the Open next week. 600,000 to watch the golf tournament with the Super Bowl on top of that, all within about a 10-mile radius. It's kind of like Vegas. I mean, Jimmy Vaccaro's used to big crowds, South Point Casino Resort odds maker. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm doing fine, building up to a huge week, and it sounds like you guys are going to be real busy starting this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. You're not a Pro Bowl guy, are you?
No, I'm not really a Pro Bowl guy. It draws minimal action, and matter of fact, it's almost a waste of time.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody came in to put a – I don't mean this disrespectfully in one sense, but I do. If somebody came in to put down a bet on the Pro Bowl and I'm working there, I'd be like, are you kidding me? I mean, take your wife out on a date, dude. Save it. Put it on the big game.
I think you're right with that one, buddy.
Yeah. All right, so what does the impact of Deflategate have in Vegas on the view of this game, Jimmy?
Nothing. I mean, naturally, it's good for headlines. It's good to talk about. Obviously, it creates interest. But as far as like the betting handle and what it does here, it's nothing. No one's come to the window and made any snide remarks. Although it's kind of reversal here with all that's going on in New England. There's a little bit top-heavy money coming in on the Patriots. So as you can see, it means nothing to the people putting their money up so far.
So money on the Patriots. What's the line and the number look like right now?
We're Patriots, a 1-point favorite, totals 48.5, and that's about the painted number you'll see here in Nevada, Brad. It's mostly one. Opened up Seattle, a small favorite, but like I said, steady action, nothing crazy, which is a good it's a good sign. You know, during this week, you usually get a lull in the 2 or 3 days, but every day that I look on the screen, we're taking what I would consider a very, very nice amount leading up. Naturally, the 90% of the money will start coming in next Friday night leading up until game time. But so far, so good, very steady action. Probably about 53% on the Patriots to 47% on Seattle so far.
Why has there never been a pick'em game? Somebody sent me a note on that.
Well, there has been. There's been, I think, six games now that are under a 3-point, point spread. But, you know, this game, it's closer to pick'em as it's going to be. You're going to see this game go up, pick or one. So what can I tell you? But what it does tell you is some other ways, Brad, is like, you know, nothing is a guarantee. The favorites don't always get there.
So 38 years you've been doing this in Vegas, and this will be Super Bowl 49.
Right.
And I'm doing the math here and just thinking on your end of things. When it gets to be Super Bowl week for you, how has it changed in Vegas? Because you mentioned, you know, last week you brought up the online component. Okay, so that's changed the industry. But I mean, what's really changed around Super Bowl betting from your view?
Well, actually, it's two things. First of all, back in the 70s, there was three ways to bet on the game. That would be the side, total, and the halftime. Now we have upwards of over 200 ways to bet the game. And it only got that way because the insatiable appetite of the general betting public, the little guy who didn't come to Vegas, you know, 30 years ago, he's finding out it's a lot of fun to be had here. In the late 70s, like I said, three ways to bet. We started having parties around the early 80s, which helped boost the attendance for Super Bowl weekend. Then marketing, like in every business, got involved and say, wow, you know, we're getting all this free pub, let's push this thing as far as we can. And then things that happened that help. When Refrigerator Perry scored the touchdown in 1985 in the Bear game, the general public went crazy. Winning a lot of money on this guy scoring a touchdown, the prop bets went through the roof after that. This keeps building and building and building. Now, last year, we had an all-time high of $120 million bet on the Super Bowl. And it's just, Brad, if the appetite wasn't there, we wouldn't present the product, but it's there and it gets bigger and bigger every year.
So what would the number look like to you this year, do you think? It'll clear 120, it'll be around 120. Can you even gauge it at this point?
Yeah, you can gauge it a little bit. I'm saying a little under for one big reason. Last year, it was Peyton Manning versus the Seattle Seahawks. He had such a big, huge effect, and now it'll be a little less only because it would have been better if it would have came Rodgers versus Brady. It makes it easier to make prop bets. Naturally, you have the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks going against each other. It'll be good, but I don't think we're going to hit the 120. But you know, I'll settle for 100, which is a very, very good pick. Your
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort odds maker with Brad Sussmat. Okay, so the prop bets. Mm-hmm. What are the ones that jump out at you? The over or under on the national anthem, that's a stable. What are some that jump out at you that you think are fun? You guys sit around a table and say, what if we did this? What if we did that? What do you have, Jimmy?
Well, first of all, we can't do the stuff, the national anthem, what color the hoodie will be and stuff like that. We can only do things that are seen visibly in the NFL stat sheet. But the ones that have been tried and truth tested for so long now, Brett, is the top three. Will there be an overtime? You know, will there be a successful two-point conversion? And will there be a safety? I actually put those three props up about a week after last year's Super Bowl was done. And I was looking the other day, we actually wrote $10,000 from way back when to now on all small bets. Those three draw the test of time only because last year when the safety hit, a lot of people jumped up and down, cashed their ticket immediately, and then betted on the halftime. So those three, those are the ones that tried and tested for the entire since these things got to be crazy. Would have been easier making props with Rodgers at quarterback, but we're starting to put those up today. It's a very tedious process because you're putting over 200 of these things up there. But the first three that I mentioned are the ones every year you know you're getting very, very good action and ticket count.
So the stat sheet is what you can refer to.
Right.
So there's nothing that can be put up there about PSI, pounds per square inch inside of footballs.
Right, we can't do that.
Can't do that.
Nevada regulations prohibit us from doing stuff like that. We can only do the stuff like you said that can be verified in an NFL statute. But they make good conversation. You can bet these things offshore, but here in Nevada you can't. But I'll take the trade-off. We get a very jammed-up crowd that weekend.
Sure, sure. I'll talk to you next week. I appreciate the time, Jimmy, as always. Thanks.
All right, pal. Goodbye.
It's Jimmy Vaccaro. 38-year Vegas bookmaker, good friend of the show, South Point Casino Resort oddsmaker. There's some good stuff there. Have you done Super Bowl in Vegas before, Eric?
I have not.
You know,
I've done March Madness, Brad, quite a few times, and that's just so much fun and so chaotic. I can imagine the Super Bowl is pretty much just like that.
Yeah, March Madness to me would be, and I've done March Madness too. Okay, I've not done it in a long time. You and I go up there for the Pac-12 tournament.
And even that, there's a ton of people
up
there.
Oh, it's fun.
There's
fun.
Tons of games to bet on.
Guys, if you've never done Vegas for like college basketball for the Pac-12 tournament even, you're totally missing out. It's because it's not just that one. The Mountain West is going on at the same time up there.
The WAC tournament.
The WCC, I think, is the week before.
Correct.
So, you know, you have all this college basketball. I think it's a blast now. The prop bets, we'll get into all of those, the color of the hoodie and all that. I'm sure the pounds per square inch, there's going to be something there in the offshores.
I think so. There's already a cut-off sleeve hoodie or full-length sleeve hoodie for Belichick.
Yeah. Mike Mayock, I'm going to switch gears here for a second. Yesterday, I watched some of the Senior Bowl, and Charles Davis and Mike Mayock were doing the analysis. Charles Davis is as good as it gets. I love having Charles on this show, and Mayock is very good as well. People don't really have a problem with either one of those two guys. Some of these analysts that sit there and grade out players, you guys go after pretty good. So to me yesterday when I heard Mayock and Davis raving about, they said, quote, the Arizona State players are having a very good week. This is why they're looking at guys from Central Florida and Idaho and Nevada and Duke. And they did the line drills yesterday afternoon, and Hardison was just throwing guys around and Jamil Douglas was pancaking guys. And both of them said they're both having very good weeks. Now, Jalen Strong is in the Valley on Sunday. We're going to go do something with Jalen Strong on Sunday. Jordan Hamm is going to. So we'll hear from Jalen on how his offseason is going. I know he's working out up here with Taylor Kelly. But it's good to keep an eye on that stuff. Sports360AZ.com. In addition, as we'll get to Goody and the movies in a second, over on Sports360AZ.com, there's plenty of content for you to check out on the recruiting front. National Letter of Intent Day is less than 2 weeks away. It's a big part of what we do. Yesterday, we had Tom Luginbill, the head of ESPN Scouting, on talking about Arizona State's recruiting class, the guys coming in. You'll want to check out that content. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, time to have Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody Coombs, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, media critic as well. So let's start with your media critic hat. Who do you believe, Brady or Belichick, as you saw the two press conferences or heard them yesterday or read about them?
You know, to me, it doesn't really matter. I just like all the double entendres in the headlines. The stories.
The Post and the Daily News in New York are just gold mines right now. There's no other way to put it.
Anybody, I don't know, this is a quote, so I don't think I'm doing anything wrong here. But,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But when you got a guy like Tom Brady saying, my balls were perfect.
Yeah.
You can't even say it out loud.
How do you get through that?
He knows it, too. I guarantee you.
Sure he does.
Remember the Rex Ryan foot fetish thing? And
yes.
Before the AFC Championship, Wes Welker, in like 3 minutes, used references to feet like 48 times or something.
Well, what is it? The Daily News. So we're not talking out of school here, but this is the front page of the New York Daily News. It's a picture of Tom Brady with a deflated football, and the headline is, my balls are perfect. Okay? Mike Lupica, plenty of hot air from Pats. So, you know, they're having fun with this at the Daily News. Then the Post, it's balls S blank exclamation point T. Okay?
That was a good one.
How can you not have some fun with this? And I think it's interesting, too, how even the Boston media, Ron Borges, who's part of the Talk of Fame show, all the Hall of Famers, Ron Borges covers the Patriots. You know, he wrote today that how much longer is Robert Kraft going to stomach Bill Belichick and these types of things? So I think next week, Bill.
What's the Jordan thing? Deodorant, winning is the best deodorant?
Yeah. Yeah, just win another title and away you go. So I saw American Sniper. And it was terrific.
You and about every other person in the United States.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Is it doing better than you thought it would do?
Oh, my God. It's doing better than anybody thought it would do. It was the biggest January opening for any movie ever.
Why is that?
I'll tell you why, I think. I like the movie.
But
I think that it is a movie that you can... It's one of those rare films that you can read whatever you want into that movie. You can see it as a glorification of war. You can see it as a hero story. You can see it as a story about how it doesn't work and what it does to people. I mean, you go into that thing, and you can tell, if you look on Facebook or Twitter, when somebody says they're going to see it, you can pretty much tell what they're going to think of it before.
If
somebody goes in there and she's like, I can't wait to see, you know, them honoring this great American hero, they're going to come out and say, wow, that was a great movie honoring a great American hero. If they go in there saying, you know, I think that war was pointless and tragic, they're going to come out and say, well, this just really shows how pointless and tragic it was and what it does to people.
What is...
And all those things, by the way, are valid. I mean, those are valid responses because of the way the movie's made.
How is this being received overseas?
I don't know. I don't imagine that they're, like, showing it in, Afghanistan or Iraq or anything.
Right. How is this going to change the movie makers? Are the studios going to look at this and say, we have to have a run on these? Kind of like the Marvel stuff. You know, you can't deny the numbers, or is it just this is a one-time deal?
I don't remember, unless it was Saving Private Ryan or something, the last time of an out-and-out war movie, something like this. I mean, The Hurt Locker won a bunch of Oscars, but it didn't make a lot of money. Zero Dark Thirty did okay, but nothing like that. I mean, this is an absolute blockbuster. This is, you know, you're getting into, you know, by some titles, it made more than $100 million the first weekend. When you do that, Now, granted, it was a holiday weekend, but you do that, you're fully into the blockbuster territory. So.
You're in Star Wars country, right?
I'm not quite Star Wars, but I can't wait to see how that does. I think that I was thinking about that. How, you know, if that's not the biggest opening ever, I will be stunned.
Right. No. No. But in terms of this movie, I just have to believe that some studio group is going to say, let's get something like it. Although there's no story like it.
It's Kyle's story.
But is it really Kyle's story? There's been that debate that they really embellished some parts of this movie, to which I reply, it's a movie. Please relax. Please breathe.
You have to keep that in mind. People don't, but you should. And the other thing about that, I mean, it's not just things that changed, but things that they left out. I mean, he was a troubled guy, to say the least, when he got home, and he made some claims after he got out that seem dubious at best and delusional at worst. And none of that's in there, and I'm not saying it should have been in there. But, I mean, when people are looking for reasons to criticize the movie, again, that's something that they go to. And I would say to them the same thing I would say to the people on the other side. It's a movie. That's not the story he told.
Yeah. Bill Goodikins with us. A Girl Walked Home Alone at Night. It's a long title.
It is.
It's a horror movie. Is this any good?
It's kind of a horror movie. It's kind of a hipster horror movie. I loved it. It's black and white. It's in Persian. It's set in Iran, even though they filmed it in Los Angeles. And it's this kind of sometimes slow moving story. I thought it was great.
A hipster horror movie.
Kinda, yeah. And it's not that scary. I mean, there's a couple kind of scary things in there, but it's mostly what it is the vampire is this girl, and she and this guy who. His father's a heroin addict, and he's in all kinds of debt to his pimp drug dealer. They want to get out of this place. It's called Bad City in Iran. It's fictional, obviously, but they and in that regard, it's like everything since you know, Rebel Without a Cause or something. it's really well done. The thing I especially like about it is like it's nothing that you've ever seen before, and people say that all the time. This time, it's really true. I think take a chance on it. I mean,
I'm looking at the trailer. We're showing the trailer while you're talking. I'm looking at the trailer. It looks fine. Is it long? Do I have attention span for 2 hours, or is it less than that? Do you know?
It's less than 2 hours. It's pretty short.
All right.
It's about an hour and a half, I think. So you know what's that like? As I like to tell my kids, what's that? 3 episodes of iCarly. Come on, you can do
this. The Super Bowl that's coming up. Now the you've done the Super Bowl interviewing broadcasters before, I would imagine, right?
I have. Yeah. I've strolled down Radio Row.
Radio Row is just it's turned into a freak show, and it's I'm going to pitch Simple Green, even though I went into the Hall of Fame, and I'm going to say Simple Green 8 times while I'm here with you for 5 minutes. So I found that to be distasteful. There's some people that I'm interested in talking to. We had Terry Bradshaw yesterday. He was fine. Is there anybody that you would like to hear from this week? Anybody that we can go chase on this show?
I don't know. I mean, I've gotten stuck into that thing where I've had to talk to people I didn't like. that's always kind of awkward. You say that it's turned into like this free show. What hasn't? I mean, I'll be going to the game, but I'll also be going to Media Day on Tuesday. And as you know, as you've seen it evolve,
yep,
it was a circus to begin with. It is a useless exercise in the age of social media. And this year, for the first time, they're selling tickets, so people can go see it. So why do they need us? Why do they need reporters? You know, I mean,
are you going to the Open next week?
Oh, I doubt it. I what's wrong with me? I just can't deal with the traffic.
Oh God, you're so old. So whiny. Traffic.
I know.
I mean, come on.
Critic.
It's Tiger. You don't
want
to see if Tiger's missing a tooth.
I don't care about Tiger missing a tooth. I'd like to see him fill in some of those missing majors that I'd like to see him get. But,
yeah. You should come out there.
That's a bizarre story. That's just. Where do you go with that? I mean,
I'll tell you where you go with it is Thursday when he lines up at hole number 1, there will be more cameras there. Because here's how it's going to work next week. all of the fringe media or non-media that have no business being there covering NFL players will be at Media Day on Tuesday. And they'll stay in our hotels, and they'll drink our food, and they'll chase our women and our men, and that's fine. And then on Thursday morning,
what are we, Vikings?
those same people will show up at hole number one to get a glimpse of Tiger and if he's still missing his tooth. And then we'll tell them to leave our city and leave our wine and our women and our men and to get out of here. That's what's going to happen. There's going to be a huge segment that rolls in that they're going to want to go to the commissioner's ball and all these parties. And by Sunday morning, what's going to be left over is lowest common denominator, which is fine. I'm excited for all that. I just think the open stories are going to be actually a little bit more intriguing than the Super Bowl stuff. Because if the NFL bill doesn't do anything today on this football thing, it's going to roll into next week. It will.
I just can't get over the, they will hear the lamentations of our women.
I mean, somebody's going to show up with an air pump at Media Day with the Patriots. I guarantee you that the number of deflated jokes and headline writers, like Fallon's going to be out here next week. The late night people, SNL tomorrow night is going to do sketches on Deflategate. They just have to. It's coming.
Deflategate and balls and all that stuff.
Yes.
Sweaty balls
and all that. Yeah. That's going to happen.
Maybe I have gotten old. Maybe I have gotten
No, not maybe. You have. You've gotten cranky. You're grumpy.
There's no question I've gotten old. And maybe I've gotten cranky. But it does seem like it's such a circus now. I mean, the game, honestly, when the kickoff comes, isn't there like a sense? I think that everybody who covers this, whether it's a sports writer or a news writer or whatever, because it is a legit news story.
Sure.
And it's a legitimate entertainment story. But from all those people who are really doing their jobs, really doing them well and fit professionally, I think once the ball gets kicked off, the game starts, there's a huge sigh of relief. It's like, finally, you know?
All right. We'll talk next week. Somewhere, some way, we'll find you next Friday and we'll have some fun with this.
I will be roaming around, no doubt.
All right. There's Bill Gittykuntz. Good to eat the movies. I was going to chat with Bill Gittykuntz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, chief film and media critic. Marshawn Lynch tweeted he's embarrassed to work for the NFL. Where are you supposed to go with that? And he's not going to talk about it next week. I like how Alaska Airlines, if you're wearing a Seahawks jersey, they allow you to pre-board. That's what they're doing up in Seattle. Come on our flight because you have the right gear on.
Speaking of flying, did you hear SkyMall went bankrupt?
Went bankrupt.
That's a shame.
Who wouldn't want to buy the bottle opener for $50?
How do they go bankrupt? If you're on a five-hour flight, you've got nothing going on, of course you're going to do some shopping.
Wi-Fi, man. We'll get you caught up everything going on in the world of sports. Busy Friday, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussman.